Welcome back to another episode of Hobby Time in the Murder Basement, where today we get to sit down and talk with Jay and Nick from Eons of Battle. They have a fantastic YouTube channel, a great live stream, and I think are going to be really important for the future of hobby and content creation. Check them out if you haven't already. Like, share, subscribe. Thanks for watching. Thanks for joining me today, guys. I found your videos probably not long after you came back from your hiatus, and was just like totally refreshed that we have some younger people in the game who are playing the game the way YouTubers want you to, with like 100% clickbait titles and shit like that. I was just like, yeah, I guess I have to watch this thing about the five basing things I need. and then I was like really surprised at how just how candid and nice your videos were. They just really was really fantastic. So if anybody who's joining us right now has never watched an Aeons of Battle video, I suggest that you go change that problem. Jay, Nick, yeah. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah, I've been a fan.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, you did a video like a month ago that like broke my brain. That was like a retrospective look of Aeons of Battle. And you guys started this project back when you were in high school, right? Or like right after high school?
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah,
so probably our junior year of high school.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy to me. Like, I'm trying to think of what I was doing my junior year, and nothing good. That's truthfully it. Nothing good. It was being kind of a young punk who was going nowhere very quickly.
So, I don't know if those videos were good, but they were there. we did publish every week. In
the videos
a lot of learning.
But the videos that you featured in that like were better than literally anything I could have imagined at that time, and especially with what limited resources you had. It's like I'm sitting back looking at that and looking at classic YouTube and everything, and it was absolutely right in line with where everything else was, which is fantastic that you guys started off with that sort of mentality that we're going to take this very seriously. Mm-hmm. So yeah. When did you guys come up with the idea? Like, when did Warhammer enter, and when did you say it would be a really good idea to turn this into, basically a lifelong passion?
Well, I would say I started playing, I got introduced to Warhammer through my cousin, mm-hmm. and then probably start of freshman year, I started painting models and building with a couple of friends, and you really got into it when we were in a CAD class.
Yeah, we were in a CAD class.
And neither of us were paying any attention whatsoever. No. And I would pull up my little Gretchen out of my backpack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then those Gretchen are pretty much what inspired me to start Orcs. And then that introduced me to the YouTube community of all the mini wargaming and all that kind of stuff. And I think we both were watching tons of content all the time.
And we were schemers. We were trying to do video games. We had other YouTube videos, YouTube channels.
Yeah, because we've been doing YouTube since we were 13 years old.
Holy shit, that's incredible.
Those videos do not exist anymore. So you can't go back and look at them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we put some stuff out on our Patreon.
We do.
Some old stuff.
Unwatchable.
Unwatchable, yeah. I just upload, can't watch.
Be like, we were light on content this week. Here's something that you will totally hold against me later on.
Exactly.
So was from the beginning was the idea of scheming to be a content creator, like was that like the goal? Because like I grew up in an era where content creation wasn't a thing. It wasn't a influencer class. There wasn't anything like that. And the closest thing that we had was our musicians and MTV like VJ stuff. So you being at that age in high school, like how different was that? Like because you got to see a different future that I never saw. Like to me, it never would have occurred to me that if you put in the time, if you figure out the algorithm, if you figure out your thumbnail game, you can literally make a living painting minis for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it was we were very lucky and we went to a rather good like middle school and high school. And so I learned how to edit way back when. So like when I was 13 on Final Cut.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then when they changed to Final Cut Pro 10 or whatever, that's when I did Adobe. So I started learning how to edit like pretty much right away. And all I realized is, especially at that time, if you take your content and it's good and you put it on every single forum you can yes. possibly imagine, people are going to see it.
Yeah.
And so we put our videos out on Daka Daka. We put it on the Warhammer 40K subreddit.
We had pages on Battle of Lost Souls.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And that's how we figured out how to do it. That doesn't work anymore.
No.
You can't do that anymore.
No. there's a lot of people there now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and because I was just seeing other people post, and I was like, well, I mean, we could post too.
Yeah. Why not? the thing that everybody keeps on trying to tell me that I need to figure out how to break the Reddit machine. I'm like, literally the second you post anything in mini painting or Warhammer 40K, it disappears because there's, 40,000 people in there posting at the exact same time. Like yeah. that is the a roll of the dice that is not something that you can count on.
Yeah, it has to be beyond unique. Like we posted a picture of those cookie cutters that
oh,
we
yeah.
made, and the we made like gingerbread space marines.
Nice.
That did very well.
Nice.
But that's a very weird, unique thing to do, and it happened at Christmas time. At all, everything was ready for
that. We were getting the war gamers, we were getting the cookie people, yeah. we were getting the Christmas people.
Right. It just kind of worked out. But if you don't have that kind of a content, it just doesn't work anymore. It used to when there was only like 100,000 mm-hmm. people and not as many people were posting. You could post anything there and it could blow up.
Your Imperial yeah. Fist ain't special.
Yeah.
Exactly. One of the things that has like kind of like struck me about your channel is that like you'll play the clickbait title and stuff, but like there's like no salt behind the content at all, which is something that I really appreciate, because like if you want to turn me off from anything that's 40K related, just like be a bitter old man about it, and I'm just like, get over it. It's a fucking game with toys.
Yeah,
I try so hard in the videos to keep everything positive and happy, because really what I want more than anything is I want everyone to be having as much fun as I am.
Yeah.
So like when I show them a technique that I'm excited about, I'm like, yeah, if you do this to your models, it'll just give you plus 1/2 star to your happiness levels. Yeah. Looking at your models. And I don't care. I don't care if you don't like the new Primaris, or if you don't like the night fighting rules, or
right.
I think it's weird the new army box had Sisters of Battle and not yeah. Eldar or whatever.
Right.
I find that the 40K community just, I think, is perpetually mad. Like, and and I just yep. don't think that they're ever going to be happy. And the things that make one half of the people happy are going to just piss off the other half. And like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm at the point where like, even though I know 40K is the best selling miniature war game on the market, even though things like X-Wing and, there's been a couple things coming close to their market share, 40K, hands down, will always win. I'm like ready for them to Age of Sigmar it. I want them to fucking blow up the galaxy, start all over again. So like Primaris is not a problem anymore. And, literally just like, just like start over. You get they're in the weeds too much.
then you'll have people burning their armies again and throwing everything out and throwing their temper tantrums for like a year or two.
The High Elves guy is gonna come back. I'm gonna burn my Ultra Smurfs army.
Yeah,
burn it all.
But I agree. They need to do something.
Yeah, I think it's just like because we don't play 40. Yeah. We'd like to.
We have.
They make it kind of hard to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think if like 8th edition to me was really exciting. Also, we were playing back then.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, between us, we had like all the indexes, the new rule books, and so it's like everyone knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
There was no FAQs, no erratas, no extra books, no Psychic Awakening, no Codex creep.
Everybody was on the same page from the beginning, but so, slowly that went away.
8th edition was your re-entry to 40K, because you guys went away to college and did things that were, you know, not tabletop related, correct?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. We did model making.
Yeah, I think 8th edition dropped right at the end of high school, but we both played 6th edition, 7th edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got into it about a year before 8th edition was like, you could see the writing on the wall. And it's funny, I look back to like early interviews and I was like talking with Wyatt from Jack of Clubs. And I was like, I think a new edition is coming. He's like, no way, it's not happening. And I was like, I don't know. I think they're making a new edition. And when I saw that light switch change, I was like, they're going to fix it. They're going to make this game more fun. And I was really surprised at how little things changed in 8th edition. And there are some like clarifications, but it is basically just like an 8.5. Like I was able to just sit down and play it again. Like I was like, oh, this is the same game. Nothing really changed. I needed a dramatic shift and it didn't do that. Yeah.
You mean the move to 8th to 9th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And it's such a rocky start because it's during all this.
Yeah.
And no one's playing, and there's like 2.5 codexes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Six months later.
Yeah. And they're out of print, so you can't buy them, which is frustrating. Yeah. Right. Like, I don't understand, you know, like, so you guys say that you don't play. Like, is that because you don't like the game or just because COVID has made it a place where it's just not doable to play a game?
It's time more than anything.
Yeah.
I think we can, maybe now that we're in the new year and life's a slightly different, maybe we'll kind of get back into Kill Team. You'll play your first game.
I'll play my first game.
I've played a game. I've played two games.
I've DM'd quite a few games of Kill Team.
That is very true. So maybe we'll get back into Kill Team and stuff, but Big 40K is
maybe a 1,000-point game once we get everything.
Yeah.
The tricky thing, though, is like we're so ambitious with a lot of the projects. We'll have two regular weeks in a row where, you know, we're probably only working 60 hours. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, hey, let's do a Kill Team this Saturday. Yeah. Let's do it. And then we're like, but what if we throw 117 hours into this Space Marine song idea I have? Stay up all night drawing.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that kind of throws that away.
Do you guys only do YouTube? Do you guys have regular jobs outside of this, or are you only like full-time content creation? You're going to make it work hell or high water.
Full-time. Yeah.
Holy crap. I've got so many questions. What's that like?
it's great.
It's very fun. It's very interesting. It's like scary. Yep. It's
mostly that one.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But like I've had dead end jobs, so this is a lot more fun. I've even had jobs that were like in the field that I went to school for that sucked. So it's like this is great because this uses like all of the skills. You know, you get a job because I used to be a draftsman, and so I get a job as a draftsman. That's wonderful, but it's not using all the art skills, all the, you know, what I went to school for. So like this kind of uses everything.
I mean, it makes sense then how you can have 3 videos a week and a live stream every evening, which is one of those things that like I'm very envious of, specifically the live stream aspect, because I love live streaming. That's like, I think the best part of content creation right now. While it's great to have like solid YouTube content that people can come back to. You know, I love the instant interaction with an audience. And I've totally creeped on a couple of your guys' streams, and you can tell that you guys are having fun and you enjoy it and you're interacting with the audience the entire time. You know, and that's something that I think is really important to the future of a channel. Like, if you don't have that, especially if you're like newer or smaller, I don't know if you're going to grow the same rate that the guys that came before us did. I think it's too integral now.
Yeah, it helps people start liking you as a human being.
Yeah,
rather than just liking your videos, mm-hmm. and that's great.
And it's a thing you come across different. I come across different in my scripted videos where I don't even think, I just read my scripts. Yeah. But then on the live stream is like, no, Star Wars Episode 7 was good. You guys are just being mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because people throw stuff at us.
Yeah,
to talk about. And
yeah.
So that brings that take. We don't know, like, we don't sit down right before the stream and I'm like, all right, so Never. We're going to talk about these topics. Like, we think about it a little if there's like a lull, but we don't sit down and script it all out.
I open Skype and call you as the stream is starting.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys don't do the live stream really at the same place. Like, one of you's calling in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I host and Nick calls in.
Yeah.
See, there is a really new tool that The Sauce, who is a live streamer and Instagram grimdark guy, him and I figured out how to do OBS as a webcam. So, like, you guys can do the same thing and work on the same stuff together if you want to be on the same thing and have, like, a multi-cam setup going on. And, you know, just like throwing that one out there. Like Nick, you're always behind the camera. So, like, I'm glad that you're here today. Like, for people who don't know, this is actually very rare. And it's nice to get to know you. But if you ever wanted to do that, I think it's such a cool way to utilize the tools at hand and you know, play kind of the game that like video game creators do. It's half the time they're just hanging out in the same chats, just talking back and forth. It seems like the biggest game content makers actually don't play a whole lot of video games anymore.
There's no time.
Yep.
And well, and especially if you have like a huge audience that's talking, like it seems to make sense to like cater to what the audience wants. And sometimes, like, I was making that point the other day on stream that like, I was like, I love you all for being here, and please don't take this the wrong way, but I know for a fact that the reason that you're watching me is not because I'm a good painter. Like, I know that you're here because you have fun watching me. And I was like, you know, I give you something to do while you are hobbying, and hopefully I inspire you. That is the relationship between streamer and audience these days. And I find that to be really refreshing, because it means that like the weight of like coming with like, oh, we have to teach people how to wet blend today. You know, you don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
So, but like 5 days a week is ambitious. Like, what do you guys, what sort of growth do you see from that? Is it pretty constant, or is it something that you, you know, say, see spikes and lulls? Like, how does that all work?
There's spikes and lulls. I mean, it stays around the same number pretty much all the time. Currently, we consistently get more people. There's a big thing with people that watch the stream and support the Patreon.
Oh, okay.
That's a big connection, because they like you, they're invested in you, and then we do special live streams for them as well.
Yeah, like Friday nights.
Yeah, Friday nights. So we get to just interact with them, and so that's really, really fun. Those are some of my favorite streams.
Nice.
Like, just talking to that small group of people.
Turn the monetization off.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, exactly.
I always leave the monetization off on YouTube while streaming, because I hear that like if you don't, like, they just start putting ads in like every 20 minutes and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm like, that doesn't seem good.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think there is something with saying to the people that are watching on the live stream, like, go make sure you watch the video again, show it, send it to your grandma. you know, that also is really helpful. Because it's all grown at the same time, yeah. It almost seems like.
They talked to us about the video that just came out.
Yeah, exactly. And we can bounce ideas of future videos off of them.
Yeah.
To see, nice. To get opinions and stuff.
I could see your address at 3 minutes.
Yeah.
yeah. Please remove that.
Computer desktop is messy. Yeah.
So the Patreon relationship is something that I try to get people to understand is how intricate it is to a channel like existing and growing. How long have you been doing your Patreon?
It's probably only been 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Very new.
We started it. We had it 2 years ago.
Yes, we
and
did.
Then we stopped making videos. So we stopped the Patreon. And I think we had two supporters back then. So.
And right now, the Patreon isn't even what I'd like it to be.
Yeah.
I'd like the Patreon to be a product that people are paying for.
Yeah.
Right now, it's a little bit of a tip jar to help us do what we do.
Yeah.
And especially since everything's been up in the air, we've been changing how we do videos, what we do. Mm-hmm. But I would love to get real quality stuff on there for them.
Right. Like a lot more exclusive content. And like that idea is from looking at like the comedy world and like all the comedy podcasts, like they put out more episodes of the thing that you already like. And so people are willing to spend tons of money on those, on, you know, those podcasts.
I was looking at Last Podcast on the Left's Patreon the other day, and they make something like $64,000 a month off of it. And I about shit my pants. Like literally I about defecated in my pants. I was like, what is happening here? Because I've never, I love supporting content creators and, you know, being there, going to shows, buying books, t-shirts, whatever the fuck I can do. But I have never once thought about like a sustaining membership to something like that as like, I love supporting my local NPR affiliate, but yet like every time they ask for money, I'm like, my business already like advertises with you. I don't need to do anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I like
it's the big thing is getting the exact same content that you already like.
Yeah.
Like if you follow like Flagrant 2, like Andrew Schultz, if you follow his podcast, you get another episode of his show again. So you get two episodes a week if you support his Patreon for like $5 or whatever it is. And like that might be worth it to you if you really like him and you really like his content and the people around him.
Sure, sure. So what do you think that you would do extra? Because I always find that the extra stuff, like none of my Patreon like even looks at the early stuff. I'm like, you get it a week early. Let's have a conversation about it. And I look at it and maybe a third of them look at it. And most of them don't finish it in that week.
I'm going to add written and like picture tutorials. Mm-hmm. Like take really nice pictures of the things I painted and really break it down step by step and why I made decisions. And then just have, you know, a giant list there so people can read through it and just get ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, instead of like, you know, hunting down the one moment from the wet blending video, just seeing like, oh, you picked a warm next to a cold so that they didn't interact. And
right. Something to make the painting process for yourself a lot easier, especially if you're following the tutorials.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, like Maniac did his like super, super in-depth, Duchess thing. And I've always wondered if at a certain point those will just become something that are like extra to his Patreon or eventually make it to YouTube. Because like, it sounds really cool. And, you know, and I don't watch that stuff anymore. I really should. There's some really great tutorials and people are like the lexicon of learning right now is so effective on YouTube. But I just like, I don't know, like once you've been painting as long as I have and you've gotten to that point, you're like, I don't actually like have time to watch this stuff. Like I'm sure it's very good, but I don't have time for this anymore.
Well, now I have kind of a speculation on like teaching on YouTube and I think that's a very small portion of our viewership. I think,
yeah,
I think it's a little bit of a trick we play on our audience, where we get them in the door for the learning. They're like, oh, I'll watch this and I'll come out smarter on the other side, but really they want entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
So our Wednesday videos are tailored for that.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, like, when you have a 3-day release schedule, like, it sounds like you actually have a game plan. You aren't just like winging it every single week. How far do you work out? Like what is the idea thing like? Or are you winging it? Which would be fucking amazing if you are.
A week out.
Yeah.
We always have the next week done.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're working on the following week.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Like, that makes me feel like an overachiever, because like, I'm like, I need like a month's worth of content, because if my life falls apart, which often it does.
Yeah. Our lives are mostly consistent, so we know that we can bank on that happening. But it's, yeah. And then we have a Google Doc just full of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's probably 20 pages or more.
Of, oh, 36 wow. pages.
Yes. 36 pages. Of content. So really, and some of that stuff's kind of thought out a little bit, so where we can just kind of pull it, fix, write an entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, usually what happens is I like, what short videos do I need to film? Short mm-hmm. videos take between like 2 and 4 hours to mm-hmm. put together. And I'm like, so how much time am I going to have for the Wednesday video? Oh, I only have 60 hours. Well, let me do one that's mostly like an opinion piece. Mm-hmm. But then if I'm like, okay, I got all sorts of time, let me paint something. Mm-hmm. And I have just nothing but video ideas and that'll fit any gap.
Yep.
I have videos with you in them. Yeah, I have videos that are, it's just talking. I have videos,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
I'm writing one that I'm really excited about. I have magnifying glasses that I'm gonna be wearing all video.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the magnifying glass game needs to be destigmatized in the hobby, because I use them all the time. And I think that's very important, even if it is just for the googly eye blinky things. But like, I think people should be like way more into using the tools like that, because like, once you get to my age, like, start to notice that like, your eyes do pretty well until like you look back at it like a photo and you're like zooming in and you're like, oh, I did a horrible job there. Like, I thought I did a really good job, but I messed that one up pretty bad.
And you look cool. That's the big thing. You get to look amazing.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. You'll be the most attractive you've ever been wearing those glasses.
So how do you guys deal with like the swing, the back and forth? Because like, I look at your videos and it's like, your regular videos seem to operate anywhere from like 4,000 to 6,000 views, which is awesome. That is a really great consistent view stream. And then you come out swinging with like the 5 worst Forge World models and you have 45,000 views and probably a ton of hate mail. Like what do you do with that? Like, because like, it's got to be addictive to have like that sort of peak and that high and that sort of interaction. But I'm sure like the back end of it is like wears. I'm sure it does.
I don't get a lot of time to worry about it. Like,
that is true.
We constantly are publishing stuff. Like, you know, we've had videos that did amazing.
Yeah.
And then we've also had videos that did fine, whatever.
Yeah. So. And sometimes you'll love the video, comes out, it's nothing a pooper. Happens. Yep.
Yeah. Like, I knew the five and five videos would do really well. The five pro, five con models. Because I think we were trying to get a little time so we could like have Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it worked out perfectly.
It really did.
Beyond perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it can be a little sad when your favorite video doesn't do as well, or mm-hmm. you know, you really like this basing idea, but it seems like nobody cares, and that could be anything. Either nobody cares about the idea, the thumbnail was wrong,
mm-hmm.
people just weren't ready that day to watch it. I mean, the title didn't make sense. Anything could possibly happen, but I don't know. Yeah, we just have to move on, basically. Yeah.
And they all kind of trickle up.
That's true. They do.
At least the Wednesdays do.
Yeah.
And the Wednesdays is the more clickbaity content that you go after.
Yeah, it's scripted, it's longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More jokes.
Yeah. A lot more jokes.
Okay. All right. Because I'm sure I probably watched those ones more than I watched the other ones.
People do. Because, you know, how many people are actively searching, you know, how to do a grass base?
Yeah.
But how many people are stumbling upon, like, you know, why you're not improving
right.
with a nice Photoshop Space Marine?
Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I find that, like, we're in this, like, weird... Like, it feels like the golden age, we're definitely in the golden age of content creation, but it feels like all that, like, intro stuff, we're, like, past that, as, like, it feels like 2018 was kind of, like, the turning point, and I don't know how to appeal to the intermediate audience besides, like, just talking and giving them something to hobby to. Like, I'm just like, I don't know, get to know these people more. Like, anything else, I'm like, I literally don't have anything original to say about it that hasn't already been said before, or someone like Epic Duck did an awesome video on. You know, it's just like, he did it better. So why am I even going to waste my time on that? And that has been a real challenge for me to get over and not take it personally, you know? Like you know, it's hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the big thing is the entertainment value has to be extreme in order to keep people coming back and watching. And
yeah, it has to be a show.
Yeah, it has to be a show.
A produced show, you know, with an intro, a body, an ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keep a montage of cool-looking things on screen.
Yeah, there should be cuts every 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
That helps a lot, just to keep people interested.
That's crazy. And I think you're totally right. You know, like that, but that 5 to 10 second thing, like, I mean, Nick, that's awesome that you are able to do that and that you feel that way about it. Cause like I can't look at a video objectively like that anymore. Like, I'm too close to it. And, you know, like I basically am just like speeding up, you know, live stream footage. That's all I have now. And just like, go fast, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what are your goals with the channel? Like, what do you want it to be? Because having a team, having an identity like you guys have, where you're more fun, you're very helpful, but you're not, it feels like you could go with almost any brand. Like, you don't have to, even though you have a big giant yellow space marine at the beginning of every video, I think you could literally touch on any miniature game and any part of the hobby and fit. Do you have a goal and a direction that you'd like to head with this?
I mean, we'd want to, you know, I think we just want to become the biggest one out there and crush all those underneath us.
Yeah,
exactly. Maniac, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, clip that, send that to everybody.
I think they'll really, like, I want to make something people like.
Yeah,
exactly. More than anything.
Yeah.
And if everyone decides, we don't care about them, we'd probably stop.
Yep.
We really want people to like our stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
What's your time frame on that? Because there has to be a time frame. If that's the thing, you just want people to like your stuff, you have to have like a, well, if 2024 comes around and we are still where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, we've grown, because I don't know how long we've been back. 7 months maybe? Mm-hmm. We've grown so much in 7 months. I don't know why we wouldn't grow more than that.
Yeah, it's been pretty steady. Like, when we dropped our first video, it got almost 1,000 views that first day.
That first, like, 2 days?
2 or 3 days. And now, I mean, every video we put out is going to get views, attention. Yeah. And
that's incredible. Like, how many subs did you have on your YouTube channel before you came back?
We had, like, 27,000.
Oh wow! Okay, so you've really grown it in that 7 months. That's impressive, absolutely impressive. Because you're sitting at like 40,000 right now, 39, 40. That's
exactly. Yeah,
that's amazing, absolutely amazing. And it's for me super exciting to see that, because like you know, you guys aren't in the YouTube creator Discord at all, which is weird to me. Like, I think that you guys should be in there, and I'll send you a link after this video.
We just got a Discord.
We did.
because we were pressured.
Yes, everyone demanded it.
So we like just started a Discord. We just got a Discord server up for our content and stuff. And if you want to be in the videos, or if you have models that you want to submit, you can submit it to our Discord. We have this new thing going on, EOB Complete. And so we're putting up pretty much, basically, you take a picture of your model before it's finished, however, what state it's in, it doesn't matter, and then your finished model, and our goal is to put that into our videos. So everyone can be a part of our videos as well, and we'll try to put a few a week.
Yeah,
because we're getting a ton,
and we want people to be encouraged to like paint stuff.
Yeah,
and so if they see, you know, all different levels and just stuff getting done, like, yeah, hey, last weekend, you know, Alex got a thing finished, and it looks kind of like the thing I'm working on.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
neat.
That's awesome.
I hear a lot of encouragement in terms of like getting your models finished, but I don't see a lot of people showing finished models, like especially from other people. And so it's great to encourage, but it's really great to show. Actually, people are finishing stuff.
And they'll have things finished,
yeah, exactly,
and they'll go on there too.
So that's why we started the Discord.
It's the great lie that we all tell ourselves in this hobby, that we that we actually finish stuff. And I am 100% guilty of the same thing, especially since like time is limited. I start projects and I'm like, okay, well, I'll come back to this later. And like, I never back to it.
Yep. Yeah, I have 6-year-long projects that, I mean, I don't even know who I was back then compared to now.
But you really love blue orcs, so like...
I do. I love blue orcs.
So that last video where you were talking about your trying to get an army done in a week was insane to me. And especially as like I'm sitting on the cusp of my month long challenge, and I'm looking at like 200 models that I'm gonna try to get done in a month, and then I saw your blue orc army, I was like, yeah. Oh boy, like when you see it on a table, it's way more real than when it's all tucked away in a box.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was it is a surprise. I'm like, I have a few orcs, mm-hmm, like maybe 3 or 4. Yeah, I have a giant army.
Yeah, just 170 some infantry.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy
giant
shit.
Army. And I don't even want half of it. I don't even know why. I just bought stuff as, you know, as we were playing games, I just bought more crap and I just never finished it.
It's because that's going to win you the game. You need two of these to win you the game, and then you need a third one because you might need bits off of that for the other two, you know? So, and then at the end, you just have 3 of them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What was that process like? Like, that was a long video. It was like a half hour long, and, you know, you mentioned that you use your cell phone on it, but, like, how do you pick what to film and what to... you know, what to focus on, because that was a huge challenge that you guys both undertook, and you managed to collide both stories together like perfectly. Like I was actually very impressed by the flow of that video, and also like totally scared by the end of it. Like I was like, oh no.
Filmed mostly everything.
Yeah.
And then if we were doing something particularly interesting or would look good on camera,
yeah,
then we would take a little more footage of it.
Yeah. And then we took all that footage day by day, threw that all into Premiere. We took Jay's stuff. We took my stuff. We watched all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just picked moments that we thought were interesting.
This is boring. This is boring. That's okay. This is boring. I said something weird there. Cut that.
Yeah. Yeah, this wasn't funny. This isn't interesting. And we just kind of, that was, I think usually you do filming. You film stuff. Mm-hmm. I film stuff with you too. Then I take the video and I, from the script and from ideas, I just kind of make it. But this one is a lot more like we sat down together to edit the video.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the flow came in,
mm-hmm,
where, you know, we figured out what parts were important, and then we wrote the script together, which we don't usually do necessarily.
Nice.
Yeah.
It definitely paid off. And I want to see more content like that, Nick. I want to see you on screen more and having that interaction, because the two of you have such like a great chemistry, and it's funny. You know, you can just tell that you like enjoy working together on this stuff, where I like... I look at some of these things and I'm just like, man, like I, even if I had someone to share this with, like, would we even get along? Like, would this turn into the thing where, like, would we just fight the entire time? I don't know. And so, like, when I see that, you know, and I see you guys, especially army challenges are so, one great content as, like, it helps you out in your, like, your regular life. Like, get rid of all this back stock here and, right, you know, kind of lighten the load on projects. But, like, those are the things that, you know, as us, like, gamers who, or aspiring gamers, because gaming isn't happening right now, like, we want to see that as, like, oh, you actually can do this. You actually can succeed, or get as close to it as possible. So sure, I think that that content's fantastic. And, you know, I appreciate that you took the time to do that. What did you learn from that? What was, like, the thing that you took away as, like, this was awesome or this wasn't awesome?
it's a lot to only do that one thing.
Yeah, I was a little slap happy at the end of the week, because just literally, like, okay, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna film it? Let's do it. How am I gonna film it? Let's do it. What do I need to say? Should I have recorded a voiceover?
Yeah.
Is my shirt on backwards?
Yeah, exactly.
It got a little weird.
Yeah, it started falling apart
a little bit.
Really?
Going to bed after painting for 10 hours,
yeah,
and then waking up, and the second you wake up, being like, I should be filming. I should be painting.
Yep, exactly.
Well, Jay, on, like, the first video that you recorded for that, and you're like, it's day one, like, you could tell that you had just rolled out of bed, and you're like,
yep. Gosh, that is my favorite part.
It really stuck with me, and actually, I literally just released a video this morning about my challenge, and I used that same sort of, like, fuck it, it's the morning, we're doing this, because I just, there was something about that was just like, oh, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. He is not ready for this, and so I went big hair, big morning hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of our noses are stuffed up in the morning.
Yeah, and we didn't really plan that hard what we were gonna do, but we both decided to open up with, like, a tea drinking gag.
Yeah,
separately,
which is amazing.
That's awesome. I just appreciate that, and I appreciate the fact that, like, you showed people that something can happen. And you know, Nick, while I was watching yours, I was like, he's never gonna get this done. Like that, there's too much stuff there, and what he's doing right now takes too long. Like, I was like, man, there needs to be, like, 100% more dry brushing for highlights or something to get, like, just something to get moving on, because I was watching you, like, take, like, your, like, and I'm like, and I'm base coating all day. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. If I could redo my part, I would 100% just focus on the vehicles, and whatever happened after that is what happened after that. Because I think I could have gotten all the vehicles done. Because that battle wagon, I was learning a lot of stuff, but it came together really quickly. So I would have done that. But alas, here we are.
I almost finished.
Yeah.
Necrons are so easy, though. The body's all one color. The gun's all one color. Mm-hmm.
I literally just sold my Necron army. And part of me, like, regrets it, because it is like one of the most straightforward armies to build and to paint. And I was like, had a lot of it done. I was like, but I'm just never gonna do this. I'm never gonna finish this army. I would rather work on my ad mech army, I think, right now. And but I don't know if I'm ever gonna do that either.
Yeah, we both have stuff like that.
Yeah,
where it's just like, it's not gonna get done.
Well, and what really got us energized about it is because there are high school armies.
Yeah,
that we they were what we started with. They're what we bought. They're what we played with.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're crappy looking.
Yeah. And so it'd be nice to fix them all up.
Yeah.
So, did you guys? This is something that I keep on saying, and I don't have a whole lot of empirical evidence on this, but I feel in my soul that this is a true statement. with your new painting technology and skills that you have learned, how much better do the new models look like on the table next to the old ones? Like when they're all mixed together, to me, even though the new ones may look better, I don't think that our eyes can discern the same way. Like I watch people like, yeah, but I should probably strip my old models and do all that. I'm like, why would you make more work for yourself? Literally, no one's going to tell. Like, no one can tell.
I painted over all my Necrons. Yeah. Like, I saved most of the paint, yeah, and I just added more highlights, changed the color of the guns.
Yeah.
I go back to my minis all the time. Mm-hmm. All my Space Marines, they've gotten new freehanding. Mm-hmm. They've gotten new decals.
Yeah.
There's some models that have 10 coats of varnish because I just keep going back. whatever I feel like it, I'll just go and touch up something.
Yeah, I think stripping models is sometimes the biggest scam out there because you don't have to. Just paint over it.
You paint it with what? Wall paint? Latex paint?
Unless it's incredibly thick. Like, you just put way too much paint on at the beginning, but most people aren't really doing that.
And this is just me thing. I hate stripping models. Yes. I hate it more than anything. Yeah. It's awful to do. Mm-hmm. It gets in my eyes. And then when it's done, it's like, oh, great. I got off 95% of the paint. That last 5% is going to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
It would have been so much easier just to paint right on top of it.
Yep.
I got this paint removing stuff from testers, and I cannot remember. It was something I saw in a Spiky Bits video. I was like, I need to try this. And I had this, like, I had a Necron monolith that was coated in car paint. It was not good. And it was streaky. It was put together by someone who I think did it blindfolded because it was, like, not square. It was, like, everything about it was wrong. And so I basically broke the thing apart and I did, you know, soaked it in Simple Green to like break it all down and do all that. And I used this like paint stripper because the Simple Green wouldn't touch it. Like it literally didn't touch any of the paint. And the paint remover thing from testers was fantastic, except for it like burnt my eyes. It melted like the plastic in weird places. Like it was just like, by the end of it, I had created something that shouldn't have been a 6-month project, turned into a 6-month project, just trying to, because of like, oh, I'm just going to be like, Casey from eBay Miniature Rescues. I'm going to get this thing for like $15. It'll be cool. Like, it wasn't. It wasn't worth it.
Come out with a magic product that gets all the paint off. I don't want to sit there over the sink with a toothbrush. I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's like the GW pots and the dropper bottles. It's a waste of time.
That's one of the things that I loved about you early on is you're like, why are you doing this? Why, like, there is a million other things that you need to be doing right now. Why are you like, and I get that, like, everybody wants to save their GW paints, but also like, just stop buying GW paints. Like seriously, yeah. A red's a red.
You got the argument.
Yeah, I know.
You understand the argument.
Yeah.
It's left us a nasty comment. Yeah. Like, it actually is not that expensive. I only spent $25 to get all my paint.
They didn't drop it. You vote with your wallet.
Yeah.
And you should vote for something different.
I have a bunch of dropper bottles here that a friend sent me. I was like, please don't send me. He's like, no, they're good size. I was like, don't. I don't want to save my Grax Earthshade. I want to throw it away.
Yeah. I actually bought some P3 paints the other day, and they come in dropper bottles.
Oh, do they?
These ones are.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Which is hilarious.
Are they the ink ones? The in the white bottles?
Yeah.
Nice. I hear those are really good. Yeah. And like, I hear P3 paints are just fantastic in general. I've only used them once at a class, and it was not enough time for me to get any real opinion about them. But they've been around for a long time, and it seems like everybody doesn't have the same problems with their pots drying out the same way that GW ones are.
Yeah. I because of my orcs, I have a lot of oranges to paint, and I'm like, I love the P3 oranges. Mm-hmm. So I bought as many P3 oranges as I could to have for my orcs and stuff. So, and I've never tried P3 paint. I've just seen Jay use them, but I felt like it was time to try them.
Yeah. Well, another thing I talk about in another video of ours, like never waste paint again.
Yeah,
it's like don't just buy paint.
Yeah,
but I used up my Games Workshop yellows. I'm like, well, that was hell. So I'm going to want to try a different brand. And so I bought all the P3 yellows.
Yeah.
So I never had a surplus of yellows.
Yeah.
I know I use yellows. Mm-hmm. I didn't like these yellows, so I'm going to try a different yellow.
Yeah.
But I see people every day buying, like, hey, I bought the 64 paint set.
Yeah.
It was such a deal, $95.
Yeah.
And now I have 6 greens that I don't use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to replace, I have some Vallejo oranges that are old, so they have cadmium in them, so they're toxic. So I'm trying to get rid of those.
Mmm, tastes yummy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to get rid of those, and then the P3 paints look nice. At least those oranges do, so I bought them.
There was one night on, I was watching Shoshi's stream on Twitch, and she had, I think it was Deep Sea Blue by Vallejo. And if you put a magnet next to it, the magnet sticks to the pigment. I was like, holy shit. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's so scary. And I'm just like sitting here like licking my brush and like, oh no.
Yeah, right.
So do you guys only stream on YouTube? Have you considered streaming to other platforms or pushing that boundary a little bit more to proliferate your content more?
Yeah, we only stream to YouTube. Been thinking about maybe something different. I know that there's platforms where you can stream to multiple different things at the same time, different platforms at the same time. But yeah, not currently. I haven't thought about it that much.
Yeah, I know there's the great YouTube Twitch debate.
Yeah.
I don't know. All of our people are on YouTube.
That's true. I think with the Discord, though, I think there might be, you know, if the Discord people move over to the Twitch stuff, mm-hmm. that might work. I don't know. It all depends on where you want the audience to grow from.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I've ran into the most is that, like, Twitch is a really cool community, and the other artists on there are really, like, almost too helpful. Like, if you stumble on, like, Giggling Geekette, you'll be like, is this, are you for real? Do you really want to help me, like, dial all this stuff in? And it's totally true. She's just, like, really, really helpful and wants everybody's stream to be as fun and as beneficial as possible. And so I've been, like, really thrilled about the community on Twitch. And I have my problems with Twitch. I don't think anybody should put their eggs in that basket, like, wholly. I think if that is your only platform that you're streaming, you are, like, one bad Jeff Bezos day away from losing your entire fucking future. As, like, Twitch has never made money. It is shedding people like crazy. But the hobby space seems to be growing. Like, like, the gaming side where they make all their money is gone. It's, like, falling apart. But, like, the low-end stuff, we seem to be having more and more people find us. And so I'm watching these really, like, smaller streams having 20, 30 people on them all the time, which when I started, you know, almost a year ago, didn't happen. Like, the small guys didn't get that. And now I'm watching it happen all the time. And I'm like, I think there's something about this platform that's here, but, like, I'm also, like, don't trust it as far as, like, a hardcore future goes, because who knows what it turns into, you know, if it stays around or if it becomes something that is just completely unsustainable to, you know, try to monetize or whatever.
I mean, YouTube seemed like the safe choice, you know. Business daddy Google
taking
care of it all for us.
Business daddy. Yeah,
exactly. But, like, Twitch, if you're on Twitch, you know what you're getting. You're gonna get some live streams.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what's good, is you can find, you know, you're gonna watch a live stream, and you can I think it's much easier to find new people on there rather than YouTube.
That's right. It's hard to find streams.
You already have to be subscribed to the YouTube channel in order to find people.
Yeah, especially live. Like, I think YouTube discoverability, if you're making actual content, is great. And I think that's what, you know, if you're using YouTube, you need to be doing it like you guys, you know, video, you know, 1-2 videos a week, or 3 in your case. And then live streaming to help, because, like, the live stream becomes the advertisement for the Patreon. It becomes advertisement for, you know, whatever your future, like, project is with the people who actually give a shit. And you basically have, like, your built-in fan base to just be like, oh, this is going to be so cool. I'm so glad that we're here. Where like you don't have that on Twitch though. Like you kind of have to like put in the work, but once you're there, there's like this really great tight-knit community that, you know, can turn into like collaborations and things like that, that, you know, sometimes YouTube feels like too much of an island. Like it feels too separate. And I don't know if you guys feel that or not.
Hard to say. I mean, we don't interact with anyone ourselves.
That is true. The occasional podcast.
We probably could. Yeah. It's just we've kind of waited to send those emails so that we're going to get a yes back.
Yeah, that's true. We
don't, will you do a video with us?
Because to your question from a long time ago, things to do this year, where do you want it to grow? That's one of the big things.
Yes, for sure.
That's like probably one of the big things that we just haven't done yet is to collaborate with people. And like we've had like Goobertown, Brent on our streams before. He's shown up and that's neat.
It's always so good when he shows up. You're just like, oh thank God, it's fucking Brent. Yeah. Yay. Yep.
Exactly. And I think that's another big thing. And so I think maybe if the streams help do that, I mean that would be neat.
Well, I think that part of the serendipity of us being able to do this episode today is I'm going to get you in touch with the YouTube creator community so like you can it and not feel like you are, you know, just cold calling people. Because what I have found, and especially here's something that's really weird, like, you know, think of Luke APS, you know, Geek Gaming Scenics. That dude's been making videos for forever, and I would expect by now him to be so busy making his bass ready, you know, mixes and things to, you know, promote his channel that he would have no time to sit and help people. He sits in that Discord and he helps new people with their YouTube channels all day long, try to figure out their cameras, try to make it, and I'm just like, this dude is one of the nicest people in the world, like, and like doesn't have time for this and still makes time for people. And then that's when I realized that like the YouTube community, like Twitch is so instant because you can just interact and raid into somebody else and say, hey, here I am. YouTube isn't like that. It's like everybody is in their own, like, you know, domicile, and you got to find a way to connect. And, you know, Brent has made a really awesome community on Discord that is, you know, for any YouTube creators or aspiring YouTube creators, I highly recommend that you reach out to me to get into there, because like it could totally change the way that you feel about it. And also maybe put it all in reality of like, oh, I don't want to work this hard at this, which was basically what happened to me.
That's great.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to do that, because like who do you want to work with? Like, if you had like a dream goal, who would you work with?
I'm a Goob fanboy. I love Brent.
That'd be cool.
When he made the social justice video, like I got emotional. That was wonderful.
Yeah,
said everything I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, I'm really glad that you brought that one up. Because like that's something that instantly I was grabbed by in your things, and you know, never to place the like, oh, you're the token person of color like doing videos right now, but like I was just like, thank fucking God. I needed somebody different. I needed to hear somebody.
I get emails all the time. Are you Indian?
Yep. All the time. That's the number one message.
It is.
Nice.
Yep.
What is your relationship with being a person of color in the hobby been? Like, because like I don't know many people here. Like, I live in a city that's 60% black people. You would think that I would have more than two. Like, I've one black friend who plays a Warhammer. He's the guy who got me into this. And at the game store that I hang out, there's like only one other dude. And I'm like, how is this? How did this miss this community? Because it seems like, you know, everybody likes to game. Everybody likes the social aspect of gaming. Like, how is it so divided?
Boy, I don't really know. I mean, I know I got into it because I've always been a big art person. My mom taught me to draw when I was very, very young. I was always using hot glue and coloring and drawing. And so when my cousin on my dad's side got me into it, it's just like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
A good excuse to buy models, a good excuse to buy paint.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah. I don't think I've only seen white people in our Games Workshop shop.
I mean, I knew another Mexican guy who played X-Wing. We were going to play right before Corona.
There we go.
X-Wing's not quite the same thing.
No,
but
yeah.
I mean, but I think it fits. I mean, and it just feels weird that like the tabletop community has been like so white for so long. And like even like D&D nights at Miniature Market when I'm there, I'm like, whoa. Like the only knights that seem to have any sort of like, versatility is the wrong word, but I don't know why that was the first word that popped in my head. You know, diversity was magic knights. And those were always the knights that I never wanted to hang out at Miniature Market because you get 100 nerds in a small room and like the smell is it's intense.
that's great. Yeah.
So do you have anybody like that reaches out? Does that ever like work into your content? Is that even something that you want to push? Like I love the fact that people like Brent do it, but I reached out to Vince Venturella one day and I was like, what do you think about like more people saying that? He's like, I think that it's incredibly tone deaf to have a bunch of white guys talking about things that affect people that aren't them. And I was like, point well taken there. I totally fucking get that. But like, because there is not a whole lot of it here in this hobby, it feels weird. It feels like, a big stink was made a year ago and, it never felt like anything was really resolved or finished from there or continued on. It just felt like, here's this thing, Warhammer's for everybody, fucking deal with the outcome.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to promise stuff and then follow through, which I think is...
Yeah, they were always going to put out that statement.
Yeah.
So did Oreo, did, Crayola.
Yeah. They did the right thing.
Yeah.
True.
But now you have to make it so.
Games Workshop's just a machine. Like, it's not like some, some guy named Games Workshop decided to put out a statement.
James Workshop? Yeah. We've all heard about him. The one thing that I am actually really interested to see if, like, because, like, Games Workshop, and I've said this for many years, Games Workshop does not give a fuck if we play the games. And they have slowly taken like a little bit of interest in running tournaments again. That's when I think we'll see them actually having to stand behind the words that they say, because then they actually have to like, oh, this is toxic behavior. Oh, this is not great. Oh, this is the YouTube creator who drops the N-word casually. Like those are the times where you actually have to reckon with these people. And that's about the only time I can see it being something that we'll actually see any sort of change with.
Yeah. It's hard to police online.
Yeah.
Especially with them. They're not hiring people to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. No, as far as I can tell, they don't hire anybody to deal with anything. They have all the money to do it, and they just don't. They're like, we don't need to fix this stuff. This is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We can pick on the big punching bag in the room like all day long, and it's not that they haven't earned that place, but it's interesting to think about that, like, last year was a big year of reckoning, I think, for a lot of companies and a lot of people. But like, earlier today, like it's Black History Month, and Miniature Market made a post about game creators who are people of color, and the first comment within seconds of it going live was like, "Oh, using race to sell games." That's and I was like, "Ooh, like this is." We're still not where we need to be.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we do. Yeah. I don't know how we fix that. And you know, all I can say is that I think you guys being so positive and good is important, and mm-hmm. could be a very important part of this conversation in the future.
I don't think it's ever going to be solved by companies and corporations. It's just going to be people being good to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Companies aren't going to solve anything.
No. No.
It's great that L'Oreal is very positive, but...
I love that that was the company that you just went to. Great. Well, we're at the end of our hour, and you know, I know that you guys got a lot of work to do, and I also took today off work so I can actually like get a good full day started on this army project, of which I slept way in. I didn't do any of the things that I thought I was gonna do. So I always ask about the big hairy audacious goal. I want to know if you could have unlimited cash, if you could have unlimited time, where do you want this to go? Because I think that if we manifest, you know, send our dreams out into the universe, it helps us manifest them, helps our fans to understand what they're going to be and what they're getting behind. What do you guys see? Like, what is your true goal here?
I wish instead of infinite money, I could have infinite time.
Ooh, there you go.
Because I want to become a better writer. Writing has always been something I struggle with, mm-hmm. and now I spend most of my time writing mm-hmm. somehow.
Yeah.
I would love to become a better writer just so I can get my voice better yeah. on... Mm-hmm. on.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of thinking, we've talked about this a little, like cinematic battle reports.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That would be... Okay. Forget what I said. Cinematic battle reports. I can't watch any battle reports on YouTube. All of them to me are just, I can't, as soon as they start rolling dice, I don't know who, what they're rolling for. I don't know what army they play. I don't know what the rules are. But if you could boil out all of the rules and just show me like the Skitarii move up the board and they take, you know, or they take fire from the coming, you know, immolators from the Sisters of Battle and you know, you're really getting in there with the camera. You know, something like we play a real game, mm-hmm. we record all of it, mm-hmm. and then we kind of make a movie out of it, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be, because that'd be something I would enjoy watching. Yeah. Maybe other people would enjoy watching.
Yeah.
Because when I watch a battle report, I watch the beginning and then I just skip to who won.
Yeah, I have a hard time following it.
Yeah. Turn two, like, these people won.
Yeah. And like, I would like playing tabletop. They do a great job.
Tabletop is the best.
The 40K in 40 minutes, love it.
Yeah, I was perfect. Just going to say 40K in 40 minutes is the only way I can do it now.
Yeah. But I still get confused on where I am on the board. What am I looking at?
If the camera goes, you know, breaks the 180 rule, all of a sudden I'm like, where was that building?
Yeah.
I don't know where I am.
I constantly get lost. And I have a pretty good sense of direction, and I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I love like Ash with Guerrilla Games, but like as he starts playing any of his stuff, the sound of the dice on his little dice thing makes me want to jump out a window for some reason. There's something about like the sound of it. I'm like, oh, fuck this. I can't watch this. And it's too bad because like I think he makes really compelling content and makes it, you know, rules easy to enjoy. But there's like... literally there's a million reasons I can't do you know, battle reports, and you know, and battle reports I find to be a really weird name for something like that. Like I never like made any sense to me.
I mean, MIDI Wargaming did it first,
yeah,
and then it was called a battle report,
and it was a battle report. There it is. I've been talking with C Mike from Fables of Refuge, who's doing live D&D. He is also editing something for Corridor Crew and Corridor Creations or Corridor Digital. And they're doing, I think it's called Son of a Dungeon, which is like a six camera D&D thing where the minis are the actors. And so like they have this whole thing and mocap and all this shit. And it's the most... involved thing I've ever heard of, but it's so inspiring to hear of, because I can't watch live D&D either. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm just like, I want to actually play You know, the cinematic aspect has been missing from all of these things. And the only person who did it well was Wargame Girl, or Mini Wargame Girl, with all of her hordes, Warma Hordes ones. But I don't think she does them anymore. You know, I think she only does live content. Yeah, so, like, I think if you guys could do it, I would be, like, stoked. Even if it's, like, a multi-episode thing, like, not, like, a full game, but, like, each kind of, like, back-and-forth thing could be that. Like, that sounds pretty good. I dig that.
I think maybe we would start with, like, a kill team.
Yeah.
To figure it out.
10 models on the field.
Yeah. And then kind of grow into a full game of 40K. Or maybe Age of Sigmar.
Ah.
I think so. Age of Sigmar might actually be easier to do. Like, I think the rules are a little cleaner. And I don't know if you've ran any, like, D&D stuff. But the second you add, like, sci-fi to it, the games get a lot bigger and crunchier. And they are not as, like, fast and fluid. So, like, your video of that Age of Sigmar is, you know, probably the better game system. Like, I, like, completely buy into that. I'm like, yeah, I think that Age of Sigmar is way, way more sleek, and each army has, like, way more personality. You know, yes, but
you can tell in the models, but that's
right.
True.
I mean, like, once you saw those Night Haunts, like, that, I was like, oh, that's it. Like, GW figured out, like, the visual narrative of, like, cool fantasy stuff. Where I think they're still, I mean, like, the Skitarii guys on, like, mechanical bulls, like, I don't know if that totally nails it yet. Like, I think they're still working on the grim dark future.
Yeah. They might need the Age of Sigmar and Warhammer End Times. It is tricky because there's a weird bell curve to 40K where it started out like 80s sci-fi, complete silliness.
Yeah.
And then it got grimdark-ish, but then there were still like orcs and tower Japanese.
Yeah.
And then now we're kind of at this middle zone where you've got like cute Nurglings riding horrific monstrosities. While, you know, the Skitarii cavalry with like the six shooters and the bandanas.
Yeah, it's a little odd. It is odd.
But I do like that people have that freedom to be like, no, this is creepy, grim, dark, you know, 1984 scariness.
Yeah.
And then the orcs right next to it have polka dot pants. It's fine.
Exactly.
It is a nice freedom to it.
And you can paint the orcs to be grim, dark, scary monsters too. And people do that. People say that's the only way to paint orcs, but they're wrong. So
I think,
and also they can be blue.
I think orcs can be literally whatever you want as long as you're having fun doing it. That's the trick with orcs. Have fun. They're the only army that you can have unbridled fun with. They have rules where you can take junk to make other things. Like, that's in they don't want you to do that with like literally any other faction in 40K. And they're like, this is how you make a wagon, a battle wagon, you know, and these are its stats. Pick whatever you want. Which I find pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me today. Is there anything you'd like to promote before I let you off back into your video editing and painting dungeons?
We're Eons of Battle, 3 videos a week, 2 tutorials, 1 long form scripted video. Mm-hmm. We stream every night, 9 to 10 p.m. Central on YouTube.
Yep.
And
yeah.
We post on Instagram a lot.
Yep. We post on Instagram, got a Patreon, Discord server.
Is the Discord going to be open for everybody, or is it going to be Patreon only?
It is. Yeah. It's open for everybody. And then if you support the Patreon, then you have special roles.
Nice.
A special chat.
Nice. Okay, very good. I think that I like. I always hate the Discord that are like hidden behind the Patreon, because you're just like, just let your fans be a part of it. They just want to be closer to you. It's cool.
Right, exactly.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.